Yeah, you go down to the doctor, you're feeling a bit off, you're not quite right, and the doctor says you need to get some tests and sends you to another doctor's surgery. And then you're sent to another doctor and, oh, another one for more tests. That's the setup for Australian author Wayne McCauley's latest satire. It's called Some Tests. He's speaking with Sarah Lestrange.
Wayne, Beth is feeling a bit unwell. Her husband calls the locum. She's told to get some tests. What happens?
Well, she goes for the test, as we do, because we do trust the medical professionals. She goes to see a doctor, just your average GP, who runs her through the usual medical checkup and suggests that maybe there's something just a little bit not right here and that perhaps she should refer on for another test. So Beth goes to another doctor, and this doctor likewise feels that there might be something just not quite right, and that this doctor might also refer her on. And I guess, and that begins her journey, essentially, her journey from normality to surreality, or whichever way you like
absurdity
to think of it. that's the small stepping stones onto a journey that takes us, you know, kind of way beyond just your local GP and taking your blood pressure.
So reading this novel, I felt like I was it was a Kafkaesque novel. Mm-hmm. In fact, there's a knowing allusion to the novel in your book, The mm-hmm. Trial. Mm-hmm. Was this an influence for you?
Yeah,
it must have been.
Yeah, no, for sure. I mean, I can't deny it. And I guess, you know, it's great as you get older, you get a little more comfortable with acknowledging your influences. And, you know, I love Kafka's work, you know.
So what is it about The Trial that you found so compelling that you were going to recreate that sense of discombobulation
The
not knowing what's going on?
I think this, The Trial, you know, was written in, if my memory serves me, 1916 something. You know, it's roughly 100 years old. As anyone who discussing Kafka, who has read Kafka, you know, who has analysed Kafka's work, it is extremely modern. And for me, it's undeniable that sense of discombobulation, that idea that, you know, in a really information-rich age now, much more information-rich than the early 20th century, that we still can't really find the information we need. We still can't get a grip on things, if you like. And I feel, you know, if you've ever found yourself, you know, on one of those phone menus, press, you know, one for, you know.
And there's not the one that you wanted.
No, there's never the one that you want, and you end up talking to someone that you didn't want to talk to. You know, that idea that in other words, there are multiple avenues to information, and just using that as a pure, simple sort of analogy of kind of what Kafka does and maybe what I'm doing in this book, there's multiple possibilities of sourcing the information, but somehow the information you need continues to elude you. So I suppose certainly that is the essence of Kafka's The Trial, which is that Joseph K. simply can't find out what his crime truly is. So in some tests, essentially Beth can't find out what's wrong with her.
And she's a character who lacks agency as well. You're just saying, just ask the question, what's wrong with me?
I think that's really interesting, you know, and others have commented on it. And I think, yes, for sure, I was going with that. I mean, you know, it's really difficult. It's a tricky thing, isn't it? You know, she's a passive character in a way, you know, very much like Joseph K. in The Trial. Although at some points, you know, and very much like The Trial, when she does push back, and God help us, I think this is, you know, quite common in 21st century life, when we do push back, you know, and ask some tough questions, somehow it makes things worse. And for her, certainly for her situation, it tends to complicate the affair more than clarify it. But yeah, of course, she, as anyone, I guess, who has passed through that system called the medical system, we do feel like we lose agency. We do feel like we're a victim. Victim's a tough word, I guess. But we feel that we are in the hands of professionals and we should leave it to them. And I guess that's part of what the book's talking about is, you know, what does it feel like to give it away, if you like? And then I guess the bigger question, perhaps in the second half of the novel, is how do you get it back? How do you get your agency back? Essentially, how do you take control of your illness? And how do you take control of your life? And ultimately, how do you take control of your death?
All really big subjects. And so I just want to pull it back, though, to Beth's journey.
Sure.
We discover there's this whole underground system in Melbourne's outer suburbs. All these bus drivers are ferrying patients to the next appointment with their doctor, and their doctors are in these light industrial zones. So how do we go from Beth being a bit unwell to being trapped in this system of referrals and bus trips further and further out of the city?
all of my work in, to some extent. Certainly my novels are kind of set in Melbourne and surrounds, the extent of them goes out to maybe regional Victoria. I mean, that's I'm interested in this idea of looking what's in front of you and looking deeper into it, you know. I was brought up in the outer suburbs of Melbourne, and one of the things I'm really interested in is what I like to call the liminal zone, you know, this kind of in-between a place, which is essentially what the outer suburbs is, that kind of moment between city and country where, for me anyway, I feel a certain weirdness, I feel a certain strangeness, you know. I don't know, it's something that I can't quite put my finger on, but it's a landscape that fascinates me, quite frankly. Anyway, so, you know, in this instance, we're talking about a character who is finding themselves out of their comfort zone.
In a liminal zone.
In a liminal zone in terms of their life. And that is to say that Beth seems to have kind of slipped down a crack, if you like, in existence. She seems to have fallen down into some other zone. And I guess geographically, topographically, you know, for me, the outer suburbs of Melbourne represents that quite beautifully.
And Beth is someone who has two young children, yes, a husband, a job. Her life is busy. There isn't a lot of downtime. And, you know, despite the confusion she experiences going from referral to referral and doctor to doctor, she kind of enjoys not having to pick up the kids and make their dinner and not having that responsibility. So there's an existential illness going on.
You know, in a simple sense, anyone who, you know, anyone who's ever called in sick, you know, that moment where you go, oh, you get off the phone, you go, wow, I think I've done it. It's okay. I'm not going to get the sack for calling in sick. And, you know, you make yourself a cup of tea and you get back in bed. And it's a beautiful feeling. It's decadent almost to say I've rejected normalcy. I've rejected the daily routine, you know. And to some extent, it's really not quite clear in the novel ever really what these doctors are saying when they say something's not quite right, Beth. And so for Beth at this point, well, I don't know what's wrong, but I know one thing. It's going to free me from my daily life for a moment. And it's kind of a glorious thing, isn't it? You know, when you can say to your partner, oh, I'm really sick, and can you just, you know, make me some soup and let me sleep in, you know? So, you know, of course, Beth is a human being, and why wouldn't any human being take the opportunity to have a rest, you know?
I don't think you had a rest writing this book. What sort of journey did you go on to write it? I mean, what writer does have a rest writing a book?
Well, that's right, yeah. Look, you know, it's interesting. The idea for the book has been around, can I say, for years and years, and it often happens like that for me, which is that an idea sort of sits below the surface, just below the horizon, if you like, of your consciousness or subconsciousness. It sort of, you know, hovers there for a long time. Probably over the last decade, I suppose, I've really started to think about whether I should have a go at this book, thinking about particularly its relevance to kind of new medical technologies. The arguments about big pharmaceuticals and, you know, medical advances that are taking us into realms, to ethical realms that are actually quite new and, you know, to some extent scary. All of these things are kind of floating around in the air, particularly over the last decade or so. And I guess I started to think, well, if I can find a simple way to tell this story, and I guess what I went for is a simple kind of journey trial story, I wonder if I can somehow deal with all this stuff that's kind of, you know, chewing at my brain, which is often how a novel starts.
Well, Wayne McCauley, maybe I'll just think before I get some tests next time. Thanks for talking to me.
Sorry to do that to you. Thanks very much, Sarah. Thanks for having me.
I guess the simple thing is not to get sick at all. Wayne McCauley there with Sarah Lestrange in Melbourne. His novel is called Some Tests. It's published by Text, and you met Wayne on RN's Books and Arts.